The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of my fabulous sponsors or advertisers. Any content provided by our bloggers or authors are of their own opinions and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. This disclaimer was brought to you by DisclaimerTemplate.com.
Hello, my lovely, loyal listeners. It's Friday. Yay! And you know what? Since it's the day after the holiday, we don't have to work today. So it's a long weekend. Yippee-yahoo. So, you know, this is just Miss Rose. And this is As the Massage Table Turns. And today is Friday, November 25th, 2022. And that means I've been 62 years young for an entire month now. Anyway, of course I don't know what we're talking about, but we'll figure it out. Did I tell you thank you so much for your time today? I appreciate you listening. Matter of fact, I love you for listening. We'll be right back after this brief pause for the cause. All right, my lovely loyal listeners, we are back and we are on the website indeed.com. And this article is titled 11 Ways to Handle Someone Who Cuts You Off in a Conversation. This was written by the Indeed editorial team, updated August 8th, 2022, published May 25th, 2021. The Indeed editorial team comprises a diverse and talented team of writers, researchers, and subject matter experts equipped with Indeed's data and insights to deliver useful tips to help guide your career journey. Effective communication is essential for business. It allows people to share ideas and information with each other. And it's important each person has an equal opportunity to share their perspectives. However, disruptions often naturally happen when communicating. In this article, we discuss why people cut others off in a conversation and provide strategies for what to do when someone interrupts you or talks over you when you're speaking. Getting cut off in a conversation. People often cut one another off in conversation for a variety of reasons. Many people view interruptions as inconsiderate and a reflection of people who are self-centered, impatient, or rude. Similarly, some people interrupt conversations in an attempt to gain control of the conversation and assert their views and knowledge as more important than what the speaker is saying. However, most people who interrupt conversations may be unaware they are doing so. For example, some people use conversation styles that view interruptions as a way to continue the conversation and make it dynamic. Similarly, some people grew up in cultures or families where interruptions are welcome and natural. Others may interrupt because they're extremely excited about what you have to say and cannot wait for you to finish to respond with their praises, thoughts, and feelings. What to do when someone cuts you off in a conversation? Conversation interruptions may be a common occurrence, and they often happen from the same person. It's important to know how to handle and respond to conversation interruptions when they happen. This may help you feel more in control of the situation and preserve your working relationships and a healthy work environment. Here are some tips on how to deal with people who talk over you or cut you off. Number one, think about your communication style. Evaluate your own communication style. Think about if you often tell long stories and struggle to get to the point of your stories, or if you may forget to share their thoughts about what, or if you may forget to share their thoughts about what you say. Consider the tone you speak with, such as if your tone conveys authority and confidence to prevent people from interrupting. Number two, address interruptions before you begin speaking. Consider prefacing your presentation by requesting that the audience refrain from interrupting you. Provide them with specific times in your presentation you will ask for questions, and that may be good points for discussion. This technique may also apply to speaking with someone individually by asking them to let you finish what you have to say before they ask questions, because the information you're sharing is complex. Number three, ignore the interruption. Some people interrupt others because they enjoy the attention. Try to ignore the interruption and continue speaking as normal. Ignoring the interruption prevents others from derailing your conversation or taking control and focus away from you. Number four, stop talking. Consider stopping speaking when someone interrupts you. Allow for a brief pause and then continue with a question like, "May I finish?" and resume sharing your thought. However, if someone is especially rude, you may choose to not resume the conversation and walk away. Number five, ask for feedback about your communication style. Ask others what they think about how you communicate. Consider first asking someone you trust for their honest feedback, but it may also benefit you to ask people who interrupt you why they do so. This may provide insight into specific areas of improvement to prevent the issue from continuing. Use their feedback to modify your communication style as necessary. Number six, discuss the interruptions at a later time. Talk to the interrupter at a later time, more neutral time in a neutral environment. This helps ensure you both approach the situation feeling calm and with a more objective perspective. Try to give the interrupter the benefit of the doubt, as they may be unaware of their behavior. Use I statements, such as those beginning with "I feel" or "I think," instead of using accusatory language to explain how the interruptions affected you. Number seven, use nonverbal communication. Use nonverbal communication to mitigate interruptions. For example, if someone begins to interrupt you, you can raise your hand in a gesture that communicates you'd like them to wait to speak. Number eight, end your presentation. Some interruptions occur when the story goes on for too long and the crowd becomes restless and unfocused. Use this as an opportunity to sum up the rest of your speech and conclude your presentation. Depending on the nature of the meeting, consider using humor to acknowledge the lack of interest in the story, such as saying something like, "Well, I guess this story isn't going as good as I thought." To sum up, the moral is to recapture the audience's attention and end the speech positively. Number 9, ask questions about the interruption. Ask the person who interrupted you open-ended or probing questions about what they said. This allows you to handle the situation without aggression and helps ensure you maintain control, and it may also pacify the interrupter and prevent them from interrupting you again. Use their responses to expand on your viewpoints and then continue with your presentation. Number 10. Transition your speech into a discussion. Use the interruption as an opportunity to transform your presentation into a conversation. Acknowledge the person who interrupted you and what they said, and invite others to share their thoughts. This helps diffuse the situation and allows you to maintain control of the conversation. Number 11, thank the person. Consider thanking the person who interrupted you for sharing their thoughts. Acknowledge the value of their contribution and suggest you speak about their ideals privately at a later time. This may discourage other interrupters from speaking up. Resume your presentation as normal. And that, you guys, is the end of that article on Indeed.com, 11 ways to handle someone who cuts you off in a conversation. And we'll be right back after this brief pause of further cause with another exciting article on today's episode of As the Massage Table Turns. I love you for listening. We'll be right back. All right, my lovely, loyal listeners, we are back, and we are now on the website mindbodygreen.com, and this article written by Abby Moore on July 11, 2020 is titled, Four Signs You're Talking to a Conversational Narcissist. You know those people who always seem to talk about themselves and never let other people speak in conversation? There's actually a word for that, conversational narcissist. To better understand this type of narcissism and how to know if you're talking to one, MBG spoke with psychologists and clinical therapists. Here's what they have to say about conversational narcissism. What is a conversational narcissist? A conversational narcissist is someone who constantly turns the conversation toward themselves and steps away when the conversation is no longer about them. They are generally uninterested in what other people have to say. In an MBG podcast episode, author and journalist Celeste Headley describes it as hogging the ball in a conversation. Remember, it's possible and actually much more common to have traits of narcissism without actually being a narcissist. This is typically the case with conversational narcissism. Conversational narcissists don't necessarily meet the criteria for a formal diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder, NPD, Wendy Beharry, LCSW, tells MBG. They're usually somewhere on the spectrum, though. Those who aren't clinically diagnosed narcissists are generally just agenda-driven, says licensed psychologist Ramani Durvasula, PhD. In a fast-paced world, they're eager to get their point across quickly without making true connections. Some conversational narcissists may actually be very anxious, Durvasula says. So they bind their anxiety by talking about what is familiar to them, which may be themselves. Signs of conversational narcissism. Number one, the conversation is one-sided. Conversational narcissists can't move away from their own agenda long enough to engage someone else in conversation, Beharry says. It's never really interpersonal or interactive. It becomes more of a soliloquy or a monologue. Number two, they interrupt a lot. Conversational narcissists will jump into the conversation while someone is mid-sentence, Beharry says. At first listen, it can sound like they're being helpful or sharing a resource, but it quickly becomes clear that this conversation is no longer about you, it's about them, she says. Number three, they don't stop talking. Since narcissists are constantly seeking approval and favor from their audience, Beharry says their constant talking will sound more like a lecture than a conversation. There's so much showing off and wanting to appear to be very smart, special, knowledgeable, and intuitive, she explains. This is different from a chatty and extroverted person who would likely be aware of and even acknowledge that they're talking a lot, whereas conversational narcissists are not even aware that they've hijacked the conversation and made it all about them, Beharry says. Number four, they are not engaged with other people. Unless the conversational narcissist is talking or someone else is talking about them, they are not interested. According to Durvasula, they will appear visibly uncomfortable, bored, contemptuous, or distracted when other people are talking. How to respond to a conversational narcissist. As someone catches themselves talking to a conversational narcissist, there are a couple of different ways they could respond. Number one, set boundaries. When you know someone has this trait, set limits to your exposure to them, Beharry suggests. Trying to have meaningful interactions with someone who's conversationally narcissistic can be lonely, she says. If you do choose to engage in conversation with them, know what you're getting into, Durvasula adds, and make sure to also cultivate more two-sided relationships. Number two, respond with empathetic confrontation. Those who are courageous enough can try what Beharry calls empathetic confrontation. For example, I appreciate that you can understand what I'm going through, but I'm feeling the need to share a little more to get it out of my system. Then she recommends instructing them to listen. A real narcissist would be completely offended by that comment, she says. But those with more mild narcissism may respond well in the moment. Number 3, don't take it personally. Whether responding with distance or with confrontation, Durvasula says not to take the experience personally. You won't be the one to change them, she says. People with this pattern tend to not be particularly insightful. Pointing it out to them may make them defensive, and they won't always change their pattern. Abby Moore, MBG Nutrition and Health Writer. Abby Moore is an editorial operations manager at MindBodyGreen. She earned a BA in journalism from the University of, Anyway, it's cut off, you guys, so I can't, okay, here we go. Oh, the University of Texas at Austin, Moody College of Communication. Okay. And we want to thank Ms. Moore for her especially informative article, 4 Signs You're Talking to a Conversational Narcissist. Am I a conversational narcissist? I might be a conversational narcissist, you guys. Either way, we're going to come back with another article on today's episode of As the Massage Table Turns. Now, this article, I don't know what it's going to be, but it might be the last one because we might be coming up on our 30-minute mark, you guys. Either way, I love you for listening, and we'll be right back. It's time for Dictionary Definition of the Day. Today's Dictionary Definition Word of the Day, brought to you by Oxford Languages, is idiosyncrasy. It's a noun, a mode of behavior or way of thought peculiar to an individual. A distinctive or peculiar feature or characteristic of a place or thing. In medicine, an abnormal physical reaction by an individual to a food or drug. Idiosyncrasy. And we'll be right back. Guys, for our last article today, we are on the website betterhelp.com. And this article, written by the BetterHelp editorial team, updated October 5th, 2020, is titled Compulsive Talking, Personality Disorder or Idiosyncrasy. Compulsive talking is often a coping mechanism for many people. If you feel that you are experiencing this, know that you are not alone and there are ways to cope with it. A therapist can help someone understand why they might use compulsive talking in certain situations, as well as build a toolkit of other things to do instead of talking. Throughout therapy, you can also improve upon other aspects of your life and address other concerns, whether it be within relationships or with anxiety or stress a therapist can help. Many a bubblegum popping stereotype is conjured when the term compulsive talking is thrown about. Talking compulsively seems almost like the punchline of a joke. She just would not stop talking. Although being particularly verbose has a hefty history in comedy, compulsive talking can sometimes indicate a mental health concern, such as a personality disorder, rather than just being an eccentric personality trait. What is compulsive talking? Compulsive talking is a pattern of speech in which the speaker feels the necessity to continue talking. People who struggle with compulsive talking may be aware that their speech is uncontrolled or obsessive, but also feel like they need to speak to feel safe and in control. Failing to speak when the compulsion arises can result in high levels of anxiety, feelings of anger, or sense of overwhelm. Compulsive talking means more than talking a lot. A compulsive talker may not speak frequently or even a great deal when they do. Rather, these individuals may shout words at seemingly unnecessary or unrelated times, continue to talk despite knowing that the person they are speaking to is eager to leave the conversation, or even admit to wrongdoing or inappropriate thoughts. Compulsive talking is not relegated to a single topic of conversation, nor is it unique to people with a specific background, history, or psychiatric diagnosis. However, it is associated with certain mood and personality disorders. Compulsive behavior versus idiosyncrasies. Compulsive behavior is the sign of a mental health disorder, such as a personality disorder, which indicates a decreased ability to cope. Idiosyncrasies, on the other hand, are simply quirks that do not necessarily reflect problems with daily functioning. Idiosyncratic speech, which may be better described as excessive talking, uninterrupted talking, or even unwanted talking, does not have the same urgency as compulsive speech, which is pressured and urgent. Idiosyncratic speech may indicate a personality trait, a thought pattern, or simply a preference. Personality traits or thought patterns that can lead to increased talking include insecurity, a desire for connection, or simply a lack of social skills. Compulsive talking as a symptom. Compulsive talking is a symptom of a number of mental health conditions, including some personality disorders. Compulsive talking may include speaking on a certain topic at a certain time or at a certain pace, or it may mean speaking in response to fear or other triggers. Compulsive talking differs from excessive talking in a number of ways. For one thing, compulsive talking does not necessarily mean speaking in excess. People who experience the compulsion to talk may not always talk at length, but rather speak compulsively at certain times, at certain intervals, or when certain topics are brought up. They may also speak compulsively out of anger or frustration. Compulsive talking differs from uninterrupted talking Two, in that compulsive talking does not necessarily mean mowing over other people's speech. A compulsive talker may take a break from speaking, but will likely resume when triggered again. For example, if they believe someone is whispering about them. Compulsive talking also differs from unwanted talking. Unwanted talking can result from the inability to read social cues or simply out of disregard for the desires of others. Compulsive talking, in contrast, may not always be seen as unnecessary or unwanted by those who are listening. Unwanted talking suggests misunderstood or ignored social cues, while compulsive talking suggests an intrinsic need to speak. Potential mental health disorders presenting with compulsive talking. A number of mental illnesses are commonly accompanied by compulsive talking. These include the following. Bipolar disorder. Bipolar disorder is a mood disorder that may present with compulsive talking. Compulsive talking usually occurs during periods of mania rather than periods of depression, and is often identified by a rapid-fire pattern of speaking that seems to leave little room for thought or even taking a breath. Narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder may include compulsive talking as a symptom. In this disorder, compulsive talking often manifests as a compulsive need to build oneself up or put others down. An individual with narcissistic personality disorder may, for instance, experience a compulsion to describe all their accomplishments and achievements, even at the expense of their audience's comfort or interest. Schizotypical personality disorder. Schizotypal personality disorder may also include compulsive talking as a symptom. Specific ideas or beliefs are likely to be the topic of the compulsive speech. Topics might include conspiracy theories, ESP, or paranoid beliefs. People with this personality disorder may exhibit speech in ways that seem strange or unusual. For example, they may use unusual phrasing or terminology. The above is not an exhaustive list of mental health disorders that include compulsive talking as a symptom, but it offers some examples of how compulsive talking might reflect an underlying mental illness. Compulsive talking is often accompanied by extreme discomfort and high levels of anxiety and fear. Treating compulsive talking. Compulsive talking is most commonly treated by addressing not the talking itself, but rather the condition responsible for the compulsive or pressured speech. Because compulsive talking can make interpersonal relationships difficult, therapy is a good idea for those who talk compulsively, and dealing with the symptom can be the first step to treating an underlying mental illness. Compulsive talking may be treated in isolation as well. However, it is often part of a larger cluster of symptoms such as anxiety, mania, depression, or interpersonal difficulties. As discussed above, these symptoms may be part of a mood or personality disorder. If you struggle with speech that feels pressured, compulsive, or in any way forced, seeking help from a mental health professional is likely to be a helpful step forward. Compulsions can feel impossible to get under control, but enlisting the guidance of a licensed mental health counselor can offer the tools necessary to improve speech patterns, regain control over verbal mannerisms, and develop healthier methods of both communicating and coping. And although not every personality disorder presents with some form of compulsive speech, some, such as narcissistic and schizotypal personality disorder, may include unusual verbal mannerisms. Therefore, treating a personality disorder as a whole is often the best way to treat compulsive speech patterns. Now, you guys, there's a little bit more to go, and then we'll be done. Compulsive talking, personality disorders, symptom, or idiosyncrasy. Although talking quickly, excessively, or impulsively are idiosyncrasies that could simply express someone's personality, background, or experiences, compulsive or pressured talking is more often a sign of a psychiatric condition such as a mood or personality disorder. To understand this connection, consider the nature of a compulsion. It is not merely an impulse or desire, but rather a virtually uncontrollable urge. Compulsions range from innocuous in nature to highly dangerous. Although compulsive talking might not initially seem dangerous, the problem may lie less in the specific compulsion and more in the fact that there is a compulsion at all. Compulsive behavior is not the norm in healthy individuals, because compulsions are largely out of the control of the person experiencing them and often are tied to illogical or strange rituals. Compulsive talking may indicate that a mental health condition, such as a personality disorder or mood disorder, is responsible. If you struggle with excessive talking, you may want to see a mental health counselor to help you with interpersonal relationships, even if you do not have a diagnosable mental illness. However, if you are experiencing compulsive talking or other uncontrollable urges, a personality disorder or other mental illnesses may be at the root of this behavior. Seeking help from a mental health professional, such as those at BetterHelp, will help you determine whether or not a disorder is involved, so you can create a treatment plan to meet your needs. Now, this goes on to talk about some therapy, blah, blah, blah. We're not going there. Okay, because if you want to get some therapy, I suggest if you can afford some therapy, get some therapy. If you can't afford therapy, talk to yourself. Go inside of yourself and have a conversation with yourself. But that is the conclusion of that article on BetterHelp.com. I'm about to go off, y'all. Compulsive talking, personality disorder, or idiosyncrasy. And we want to thank BetterHelp for that. And I want to say thank you. Yes, you, my lovely loyal listener, for hanging around for today's episode of Ask the Massage Table Turner. Now, it's Friday, so you know what to do. Have a great weekend. Don't let anybody take you off of your square, because you are the only you on the whole planet and in the whole universe. And nobody is doing a better job of being you than you. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Now, you know I love you for listening. Please, please, please support my sister podcast, Just Miss Rose, which I record on Sundays. And we will talk with you again on Monday on another episode of As the Massage Table Turns. Thank you so much again for your time. I love you for listening. Have a great weekend. Bye. Miss Rose out. Mwah.
Oh, thank you.